Welcome back. It's The Drive with Matthew, Jimmy, and Chuck on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5. We're brought to you by Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown. We are at ESPN Radio Lexington on Facebook or ESPN Radio Lex on Twitter.
All right. Joining us now on the show is somebody we've never had on before, which we always love having new people on. His name is Vane Schichtarino, and he seems like an interesting guy.
Yeah.
From Twitter. Oh, wait a minute. It's Wick Terrell. Hold it. Wick, is that you?
Hello, Laugh-You.
Yeah. I've been waiting for this for a long time, actually, because following you on Twitter with your penchant, there's a word we don't use often enough, penchant for switching names around and different things is one, I think, one of the best things about your Twitter feed. Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate it. It's fun to be able to fall back on that since the only baseball we get to look at these days is old baseball. So, filled out a Shane Victorino wormhole the other day, and here we are.
But the funny part is, I just said to Jimmy, I saw something on Twitter from you, but I didn't know. I didn't look where it said at Wick Terrell. I just saw Vane Schichtarino, and I went, "What? Who is? What is that?"
And why does his profile picture look like I've seen it before?
Oh, wait. Okay, it's Wick. Okay, now I get it. I'm sure you're confusing a lot of people, though, which is probably what you want.
Well, when they come to me looking for baseball stuff and I don't have that to offer,
you got to have something.
Got to have something to buy the time, right?
Yeah. All right. Now, as everybody that listens to our show, and we know there are many of them, and they're very familiar with you because you've been kind enough to join us for quite a while now. You live out in the Denver area, and you're getting 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow? What?
Yeah. So they say we had spring for a week, then we get snow for a week, and this is the snow week. So we've got some melting off right now, and then yet another blizzard rolling through the forecast. So it does wonders for my sinuses, which is fantastic.
Oh, good.
It is what it is. I guess it's better for the Rockies to not have to be dealing with shoveling 5 inches of snow off of Coors Field at this point, I guess. So,
See? Silver linings.
It does happen every year, and this would have been perfect.
Yeah.
You know, historically speaking, most all of the ski mountains up in the mountains for the west of us do stay open until mid to late April. So it's been a little bit odd around here watching people for the first time kind of lament the fact that there are big snowstorms coming through because we can't go enjoy them the way that we all have historically. So it's quite strange out here, no doubt about it.
Yeah. Well, all right. I want to start with you. Because today we're actually, we've been asking every day. We have top five lists, and we're asking listeners for, you know, pop quizzes and different things. And today we're asking people about guys that should be in the NBA Hall of Fame but aren't. But you have something really interesting that I want you to talk about the best teams to never win a championship. And this team never even had the chance to play for one, and that's the 94 Reds. Talk to us a little bit about that team.
Yeah, the 94 Reds, obviously the Major League Baseball strike happened. I think August 11th was the last game that the Reds played that season.
Yeah.
I think they got cut short at 114 games. We're, I think, 22 games over 500 and leading the newfangled National League Central. If you think back to 1994, it was 1 year removed from the addition of the Colorado Rockies and Florida Marlins to the National League, and they kind of realigned for that 1994 season, creating three divisions again. And that Reds team was absolutely stacked with talent, and was one of those clubs that you really thought had a chance to kind of, when they were on the big stage, put it all together. And it was really frustrating to see, at the time, young me, have that kind of wiped out from underneath us. And then in hindsight, looking back at some of the characters on that team, and you know, you had a full season from Barry Larkin. He was about as healthy as he'd ever been that year. Kevin Mitchell had been brought over via trade, so had Brett Boone. Jose Rio was at the peak of his talent, and the Reds even picked up Deion Sanders and Pete Scherff midseason that year to help for a playoff push that never actually happened. So, as we look at seasons that have been altered and or shortened, which the 2020 season obviously is as well, looking back at that one particular club, it's just really, really frustrating. We never got a chance to see how that one played out because if anybody was going to go toe-to-toe with that era of Atlanta Braves dynasty, I think it could have been that Reds club. But we never got a chance to see it happen, unfortunately.
And looking at the picture that you have up along on Red Reporter with that article, those are the best Reds uniforms to me.
Those are pretty good. Those are pretty peak. Of course, it was awesome because they had so many memorable players wearing them at that time, too. The contrast of the sleeveless and everything else was, that was pretty prime era back then.
Yeah, with that C on the red. I mean, I'm looking at it now. It's just beautiful. I may have to go get one of those. I'm just saying.
With your last name on the back, obviously.
Morantz.
The double zero. I miss those big 90s wristbands that were like the length of your entire forearm. Those need to come back.
Yeah, I think the last time we saw those in a Cincinnati dugout was Dusty Baker. I think he hold on.
Yeah, he used aging. Yeah.
We need baseball back first, okay? Forget and the armbands.
And then we get the extra long Easton long
whatever,
bands.
I don't care about that.
Got to be Easton, though.
I cannot wait to have a chance to criticize real baseball uniforms one more time because they're actually on the field in front of me.
There's also something I wanted, because we know how you love Joey Votto and the way you talk about Joey Votto. And we talk about The Athletic on this show a lot. We had Kyle Tucker on a couple times in the last 2 weeks talk about Kentucky basketball from The Athletic. Joey Votto did a podcast interview with The Athletic Cincinnati. It's so good.
I have not yet listened to it.
Oh, you will love it.
Rose fans. Yeah, I've got it queued up. It's on the agenda to listen to later on this afternoon. When I heard that they were putting it out yesterday, I got as excited as I possibly could because the podcast is something I've listened to off and on for years, and that's always good regardless of talent. But to have Joey on there with Trent as well, that's a great, great grouping that I'm really excited to have a chance to sit down and listen to. I think it's almost like 90 minutes long. Which is obviously it's a pretty good indication that it's good content, but it's also something that I think you only get out of so few big name athletes. But Joey Votto is one of those. I mean, you prompt him with a question, and he's not just going to give you some flippant response. He comes back with some of the most insightful answers that you could ever possibly expect from an athlete of his talent. So I'm extremely excited to sit down and listen to that one later on today.
Here's something else about our guy Joey Votto. From obscure former Reds on Twitter. Career leaders in OBP. That would be on base percentage, I believe. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Vane. Here's the list. Career leaders. Barry Bonds, .4443. But anybody on steroids could get on base all the time. Second, Joey Votto, .4213. Third, Mickey Mantle, .4205. Are you kidding me? Ahead of Mick?
I think if you look at the entire list that was included there, it's all Hall of Famers, Barry Bonds, who obviously was what he was, and Joey Votto. And I say this all the time, and it kind of seems to get lost a little bit when we're not just looking at baseball specifically, but baseball is not a game that's played against the clock. You don't have 48 minutes to put up as many points as you possibly can. The other team has to get you out 27 times, and if they don't get you out, that's the single best outcome you can produce. And on-base percentage is evidence that you did not make an out. And he is literally the second-best player. I think that was post-integration numbers. Second-best player in baseball history to have done that. And that's just, it's remarkable. And it's something that I think it's really, really been overlooked.
Yes.
How good he's been in that time. And I think in theory, as we become more and more aware and kind of embrace more of these kind of concepts in baseball, that's the kind of stat that's going to hold up long term. The further we get removed from peak Joey Votto, because that's a number that's going to be very, very hard to beat. I think Mike Trout is shortly behind Joey Votto on that list. But, yeah, he's behind Joey Votto on that list.
Well, Joey Votto is also the only one that's still active, I mean, except for Mike Trout. And as we all know, Mike Trout's the greatest baseball player
ever. He's on pace to break everything.
Yeah. But Joey Votto's ahead of him so far, so watch out, Mike Trout. You're going to have to go a ways. Also on here, and this is really cool, the Reds have announced from our buddy C. Trent Rosecrans the launch of the $1 million fund for game day workers. And Trevor Bauer is kicking in big time, and they're doing all kinds of stuff, and that's really good news. It's really good to see that.
Yeah, it absolutely is, because, I mean, it's an underrated aspect about how many people in the Cincinnati community depend on the Reds, and the Reds depend on them. You know, the Reds can't get through the season without people there working the stadium and doing everything they do 81 times a year, plus the people that do it in spring training also. The fact that so many people are impacted by this, and that the Reds are going to step up and try to make good on them while they're basically stuck at home, not making money. It's a big, big gesture, and one that I hope they don't have to keep doing further than what they've committed to already, because I hope that means that we're back to getting back to normal. But it is quite the good gesture from them, and one that it's worth pointing out that multiple major league teams have reached out and done to their employees as well.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic. And finally, in the couple minutes we have left with you, the most important topic that we'll discuss with you today, and I want you to go into a little detail with me. Yesterday was your first attempt at slow-cooked beef bourguignon. No mushrooms. And then you put a picture of it up on Twitter, and frankly, it looks delicious. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little about your beef bourguignon.
Well, for one, I had it last night, and I am not dead. So it turned out to not be lethal, which is good.
Okay, so you're still here. That's a good sign.
That's the first rule of good cooking.
Right, yeah.
First rule of good cooking. Second rule of good cooking was it held up well enough for me to have a reheated version of it for lunch today also.
Nice.
It still hasn't got me yet.
Okay.
It's a dish that the one and only time I've been to Paris, I had like 4 or 5 years ago, and it was one of the most delicious things. I had no idea what I was getting at the time, honestly. but it was hands down one of the most delicious dishes I have ever had in my life. And I told myself, hey, Irish roots, meat and potatoes, I think I can kind of pull this off. But I never tried it until last night. So it's funny what quarantine does to your baking minds. But yeah, it came out pretty good, all told. And hopefully I can kind of continue to perfect it in the future, because that's a good dish to have sitting in the fridge for a couple of days still.
Yeah, well,
especially when you're about to get 8 inches of snow in a couple of days.
Yeah,
it does say it came out as if an Irishman cooked it. What exactly does that mean? It's unseasoned.
It was a little bland. Didn't have all of these spices that I needed to make it, which is a little unfortunate. Didn't have any bay leaves, didn't have any thyme. I kind of overcompensated with salt and pepper, because that's what we do.
That's what the Irish do, yeah.
Hey, put your snowshoes on and go find some thyme or something.
Just throw a little Tony Ciccieri's Cajun seasoning in it. That makes everything better.
Yeah, no, that's real Irish.
Bourguignon, there we go.
Yeah.
Cajun bourguignon.
All right. Stay safe during the big blizzard, will you please? Because Lord knows we worry about a guy like you who's never outdoors and never does any adventurous things. So,
normally when it snows this much this time of year, I am out being an idiot and it's somewhere. But this time I'm out in my own four walls and my roof. So
all right.
Hopefully I can't get in too much trouble.
Well, we always love talking to you. You know that. And we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, pal. See you. At Wick Terrell, TERRELL.
Or
Vane Schichterino. That's his name now.
I'm glad I wasn't the only one that struggled. I was looking him up, and I'm like, I don't know any other Wick Terrells. Why can't I not find?
Yeah. And if you just go down his Twitter feed for a while, a few days, there's some other. He just posts random weirdness with names. It's great. All right. When we come back. This is very cool. We're going to speak with someone named Jordan Brenner. And he's doing something with his son that is awesome during this quarantine period. We're going to talk to him about that when we get back. It's The Drive on ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5.
Brought to you by Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown. I take you down.